Amherst County Council meeting. First item on the agenda is anybody with two silenced or cell phones. Next, we will have the Pledge of Allegiance, and today we will have a moment of silence. So if you're uncomfortable with either one, you may step out the door, and Ms. Hunt will come get you and bring you back up. So if you're all right, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hunt, could you check for the two public hearings for the statement? No one?
You go ahead and bring a citizen comment.
Yeah, go ahead and bring that one. Save you a trip. Thank you. Okay, first item of public hearing, the ratification of setting of a public hearing. Ms. McGovern.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Because of the timeframe of the, what we're trying to do in terms of the conservation easement and the land dedication of the 22-acre parcel that Mr. Kilgore is looking to donate to the town for a park, we needed to go ahead and get the advertisement done for the public hearing. So without having town council having set that public hearing at the previous meeting, I went ahead and advertised it. What I need from council is for you to ratify the setting of that public hearing since it was not done at your previous meeting. I'm asking council for a motion to ratify the setting of the public hearing for that comprehensive plan amendment.
I am looking for a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Driscoll. May I have a second, please?
A second.
Mr. Thompson, and both at the same time. Any discussion? Mr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mr. Driscoll?
Yes.
And Ms. Hunt. All right, all of those in favor say aye.
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 All right, Mary, motion is carried 4-0-1. Now, Ms. McGuffin, the public hearing.
Public hearing for the comprehensive plan amendment. So this would open the door for the town to approve a conservation easement on the 22-acre residual parcel that Mr. Kilgore has purchased. This is better known as the Amber Farm. It is across the street from Amherst County High School, and this would change the land use in your adopted comprehensive plan from a mixture of commercial transition residential use to a public, semi-public designation.
I will open the public hearing. I will close the public hearing, and I will entertain a motion to go ahead with the request.
I'll make that motion.
Got a motion from Ms. Farmer, may I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Driscoll. Comment, Mr. Driscoll and Ms. Farmer. Vote, Ms. Farmer.
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll, Mr. Thompson,
aye.
And Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Motion is carried 4-0-1. Okay, Mr. Kilgore, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Go forth and do your what Paul Kilgore does. All right, the next is going to be citizens' comments. Now, for citizens' comments, to let everybody know, each person has 3 minutes. Council will not engage you. This is your time to talk. We are listening. At the end of 3 minutes, I will stop you, and that's it. And you have to be quiet and step to the side, and another person comes up. So I'm just going to start from the top and go down. Ms. Martin, you're first. If you could step towards the... We could pull, hey, Harold, could you do me a favor and pull that podium up a little bit, please? Right there. Thank you. Show up at the meeting, we'll put you to work.
All day.
Okay.
My name is Jerry Martin. I am the wife of Steve Martin, and we currently own 5 properties zoned B2 within the town of Amherst. Apparently, there was an ordinance passed back in 2003 by the town council that very few people knew existed because it has not been strictly enforced during the last 20 years. In August of this year, we were notified that a complaint had been filed on 2 of our properties, and this ordinance would now be enforced. There are other businesses and property owners that have also received a complaint, and this ordinance will now be enforced on their property as well. There are still many other business owners or property owners that are non-conforming to this ordinance. However, they can continue to operate their business because a complaint has not been filed on them yet. The ordinance passed in 2003 basically states that all commercial lots within the town limits developed after 2003 must be surfaced with asphalt, concrete, brick, or paving stones. If a commercial lot was developed before 2003, it would be grandfathered in. However, if that lot added an addition or changed in structure or closed down for a 2-year period or changed in the type of business, then the 2003 ordinance would be enforced. Enforcing this ordinance now is causing a tremendous hardship due to the change in price of surfacing materials during the last 20 years. Considering the durability and cost, most commercial properties use asphalt. In 2003, the cost of asphalt was $152 per ton. Today, the cost is $645. That is an increase of 320%. To put this in perspective, we own the property at 469 South Main, next to the dry cleaners, which is a 2-acre lot that we have owned and rented out since 1989. For the last several years, it has been rented to Jake DeMara, owner of the yard spot, to display half of his inventory of sheds and towing trailers. Now, because of one person's complaint, we must pay $274,000 to asphalt if we want to continue renting out our property. The cost of the asphalt is higher than the worth of the property itself. We do not have $274,000 to asphalt this property or our other properties. This 2003 ordinance needs to be rescinded because it affects every person in this town. Who wins if our commercial properties can't be used? The landowner loses the rent. The business owner loses the income. The town loses the tax revenue from the business. The taxpayers lose because their taxes will go up to compensate for the lost business revenue. The only one that wins is the one complainant.
Thank you, Ms. Martin.
Good evening, Town Council. I am Steve T. Martin, and I own Martin's Paint and Body Company, 468 South Main, and have been in business for 46 years. How would you feel if you received a phone call from the town manager saying 2 of your commercial rentals can no longer be rented due to a 20-year-old ordinance that has not been enforced until now? My wife mentioned 469 South Main. We also own 513 South Main next to the state police office, which is a half an acre and has been rented out as a car lot, and most recently to Chris Adams for his business, P&K Trucking. We were approved a business permit in 2018 for the car lot, and by 2020, Chris Adams was renting it and wanted to add a large storage building. He applied for a permit, and again, it was approved without the 2003 ordinance being enforced. Chris moved out in July 2023, and within a few days, we signed a lease with Landon Coffee for his new business. He planned on selling farm equipment and farm supplies. He was denied a business license because our lot cannot be rented unless we pay $64,000 for asphalt. I've lost thousands of dollars overnight because this ordinance affects all my commercial property. My shop was grandfathered in, but if I sold it to someone that wanted to enlarge or change it, then this ordinance applies. Does the town want business growth? No small investor or business will be able to purchase commercial property for the ordinance requirements. Big government is shutting out the small guy. The only ones that would be able to purchase a property and pay for asphalt would be mega operations. If I cannot rent my properties, then my only option is to put them up for sale. We take pride in the properties we own. We have spent a great deal of time and money in landscaping and upkeep. Two of the properties that we recently purchased sat empty, overgrown, neglected for over 12 years. We cleaned them up, planted flowers, shrubs, trees, and put down a thick layer packed like gravel. The house we own at 841 South Main would have made a perfect room for a lawyer's office or real estate office, but that will not be a possibility if this ordinance stands. I respectfully ask the town council to rescind the 2003 ordinance. Thank you for your time and listening.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Next is Mr. Tim Wright. Let me get started. Good to see you, Tim.
Thank you. I was going to say, you know, everybody knows I've been sick and getting better every day, and I appreciate all the prayers and kind words and support throughout the town of Amherst and the citizens of Amherst. And that's a very hot topic. Mine's a little lighthearted. I just wanted to come out and say that, you know, I hadn't been around lately, and the Amherst Mountain Bike Club is still a functional group and would like the town council to take another stab with us to try to figure out how do we improve the trail system we have. We have a trailhead that's not accessible to the trails because of the removal of the bridge, which was a mistake on our behalf. And we would like to expand the trail system there or have a serious conversations. I invited people to come to New London, look at the trail systems at New London where there's a huge industrial park going on and how successful they are. And I also bought visual reminders. Forgive me, but sometimes I know y'all not supposed to engage, but this is y'all's own survey that y'all did and clearly shows that the citizens of the town of Amherst would like to use multi-use trails, and that was done by the town of Amherst. And one last visual, I don't know if people realize how much of Brotman Park is actually wooded. So we talk about, you know, using these building sites to build all these industrial stuff on. Well, the park itself, the property line, I would say it's probably 60% or maybe even more still wooded. So it's not something that, you know, that hasn't even been cleared for industrial use yet. I just wanted the visual aid so people could see how much wooded section is still in Brotman Park that's just not being used. Thank y'all for y'all's time.
Okay, next, I'm not going to try the last name, Jake. Jake DeMolle. Okay. Sorry if I messed it up. I try to be careful with that.
You got it perfect. I am Jake DeMolle. I own the yard spot, which is branded as the trailer spot. And I rent from Steve Martin, where John Turner's building used to be. I'd recently bought that property from John Turner, and I got a complaint that I'm using property as gravel and not asphalt. If I have to asphalt up against the building and up in Steve Martin's lot, as he mentioned, it would basically put me out of business, and I'd lose most of my inventory space. So that's all I wanted to come here to say tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Now, this is city, this is town, not county, right? Yeah. It's a different group for county, right? Okay. Yeah. Well, we're citizens. We've been here since 1994. Jim, my husband, my daughter, Catherine. And I'm going to piggyback on what Steve Martin brought up. I had talked to a lady who had a property because we were looking at doing like, I kind of don't want to give the idea away, a business, a small business that would be like a nonprofit that would help like disabled people have a little part-time job, maybe 4 hours a week or whatever. And I approached a lady who's a property owner on South Main, close to where Steve is, and was informed that that would be impossible because it's got gravel, it's not paved. It does have electricity and the poles and probably everything we would need to put either a permanent little structure or a mobile structure there. And so we were told that that wouldn't be possible because of the new, well, the ordinance about the paving with the asphalt, because we definitely don't have the money for that. But anyway, I love living in a place that's beautiful. We don't want tacky. Nobody wants tacky. And I don't think it's tacky. A little bit, when you come up the 60 exit to go to Food Line, sometimes that gets tacky. It's real high grown and trash, and that's just an ongoing thing. But I love the town, and I understand you don't want everybody to do their own thing. But how do you change an ordinance? I guess that's what I'm interested in, that ordinance that might stop the growth. I'd be willing to spearhead that, or how do you do something with it? That's my question. Do you have to get 10,000 signatures, or what do you have to do?
No, they just comment. They don't engage, you just comment.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Mr. James, that?
Robert's room going.
Okay. And that was it. Thank you all very much for coming. And we're moving on. Next item is the consent agenda. I will entertain a motion for the minutes and check further. Please back up. I'll open it.
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Turner, a second.
Second.
Mr. Driscoll. Any comments? Ms. Wheaton?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mr. Driscoll?
Yes.
And Ms. Turner? Vote. Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll? Ms. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Motion carried. 4-0-1. All your staff reports are attached. Next is discussion item, appropriation of funds for police vehicle outfit. Ms. McGovern.
This is one of those things that y'all have heard us talk about endlessly, is the difficulty of finding vehicles. As state police has gone from having the sedans to SUVs, there are no police sedans that are around anymore. We looked for Tahoes, which have a little bit more room and also have actually been coming in on a little bit less of a price point than the Explorers. Weren't able to find any Tahoes in the state. There's no police Explorers in the state. And again, this comes down to because you have to have the police version of the vehicle and so forth. Weren't able to find any. So the chief and the captain have been looking all over the place to find them. They found Tahoes available in New Hampshire. We are able to get those Tahoes with the existing money in the budget, but with the increased cost of everything from the cars all the way to the outfitting, what the grant funding that we've received will completely cover one of them and a portion of the outfitting in the other. There's about a $12,000 differential on the cost of everything that we need to do to get both those Tahoes together from what was put in the budget. So I'm asking for an appropriation of $12,000 for the additional cost and the transport of those vehicles.
Okay, I will entertain a motion for the appropriation of $12,000 for the police vehicles.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Driscoll, and a second, please.
A second.
Second from Ms. Wheaton. Discussion, Ms. Wheaton?
Yes.
Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Mr. Driscoll? And Ms. Turner?
No.
Okay, vote. Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
And Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Motion is carried. 4-0-1. Ms. McGuffin, appropriation funds for wastewater plant.
I had originally put in a Friday report to you all that I thought that this would just be a purchase approval, and then Mrs. Morgan corrected me because we already had used some of our contingency for this project, that it really would be better to go ahead and ask for the appropriation of the funds. While we are doing work at the wastewater treatment plant for the centrifuge, it became really clear that there's an existing culvert there that needs to be replaced, and additionally, the drying bed structure that is remaining actually has pieces coming out of the roof. There's holes in it, those pieces are falling down, it's a safety issue. And so since we have a construction crew out there that has all the equipment necessary to do this work, we would like to go ahead and get that crew to go ahead and get these two things done. I was trying to think if I could bring up the cost really quickly. I believe it is just below $40,000, $39,900, is that correct,
something
Mr.?
Like that. Right.
Yes, so Mr. Williams worked with the contractor, and this has been cycled through the engineer, so staff is recommending appropriation of funds for the purpose of getting those two jobs done with this project.
I will entertain a motion for the appropriation of funds for the Lake Forest Drainage Project.
Make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Wooten. May I have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Second from Ms. Turner. Any discussion? Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Driscoll?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
And Ms. Wooten?
No.
Vote, Ms. Wiegand?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Abstain.
Okay, Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
And Ms. Price?
Aye.
3011. Next item is the agreement for wastewater connection for Poplar Grove.
So since Poplar Grove is outside of town limits, this is something we bring to council when we talk about doing an extension outside of town. Poplar Grove has been working with staff for several months, and council saw a draft of this agreement 2 months ago at your meeting. There was a request to give this a little bit more time to have a discussion on how many residential units would be included in this. The new draft agreement does include a section that really outlines the parameters of what would be included in the agreement. From a staff perspective, this answers the concerns that staff had. We were very concerned about long-term Poplar Grove needs to fall under the same regulatory framework as any other customer. They address the concern that staff had about the time frame of the agreement that they do not construct, and they also address our concern just about limiting the total volume going into our system. So at this point, I'm available for questions. Do we all also have Mr. Mateo available?
Yeah.
Vicki?
Mr. Mateo?
He is.
Okay, so
can you hear us, Mr. Mateo?
Yes, I can, and I'm online. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll give a motion in a second, and then we can discuss what we need to discuss. Can I have a motion to move forward with the wastewater connection for Poplar Grove?
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Thompson. May I have a second?
Second.
Have a second from Mr. Driscoll. Discussion. Ms. Wiegand?
Yes.
Mr. Thompson. And also in the discussion, if you have any questions you want to ask Mr. Mateo, as well as Ms. McGuffin, you may ask those. Mr. Thompson, you have to answer. Okay. Mr. Driscoll. And Ms. All right, we will have a vote. Ms. Wiegand?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
And Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Motion is carried. 4-0-1. Mr. Mateo, thank you for being available.
Thank you, and thank you for the guidance. Enjoyed working with all of you.
Yes, sir. Next item, this is the fun one, Christmas parade. Ms. McGuffin.
Are you sure you don't want to take this one, Mr. Mayor? You're very excited about this.
I am. I love it. And, well, I will say that we're proposing the theme this year to be a cartoon Christmas. That is just so wide open. I mean, you know, that makes it, cartoons make everybody happy. So that's going to be our theme. Now, you can finish. I just had to throw mine out.
Yes, sir. So by town code, we do need to bring to the council for approval the street closure for the Christmas parade. First Friday in December this year is December 1st. So boy, Christmas is going to get started early. We will get off of Thanksgiving and get right to getting ready for the Christmas parade. So staff is asking for a motion to approve the street closure for the parade this year, and then staff will work on all of the meet-up permits.
I'll entertain a motion for that.
Motion
for Ms. Wheaton. Second?
Second.
Mr. Driscoll? Any discussion, Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Mr. Driscoll? And Ms. Price?
No.
Vote, Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll? Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton? Motion is carried. 4-0-1. Is Tracy here?
She is not, so
okay.
I'll take care of Mr.
All right.
Tracy.
The adoption of the FY25 CIP and budget.
I know it's hard to believe, but we are already planning for FY25. Per state code, you are required to adopt a budget calendar annually. So this is the budget calendar consistent with what we've been doing for the last several years for both the CIP and the budget. So staff is asking for adoption of that.
We'll entertain a motion for the adoption of the calendar. Motion from Ms. Wheaton. May I have a second?
I'll
Second from Ms. Turner. Any discussion, Ms. Wheaton? Yes. Mr. Thompson?
Just to be clear, we're voting on the budget calendar. That's all I have.
Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Okay, now vote.
Yes.
Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Motion carried 4-0-1. Next item is to set a public hearing for the revision to the sidewalk and skateboard codes. Ms. McGough.
So when council changed the code related to sidewalks and the use of skateboards on sidewalks, essentially the code that was adopted says that skateboards must yield to pedestrians, and that was included in the code, but at the time that was done, there was not a deletion of the previous code that said they were prohibited from being on the sidewalks. So this is really a desire on the part of staff to clarify the intention of council for the deletion of the conflicting code. So we would need a public hearing to do that, and staff is asking for setting up that public hearing for next month.
Next month? Okay, I will entertain a motion to direct the town manager to set the public hearing for next month. May I have a motion, please?
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Wheaton. May I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Driscoll. Any discussion, Ms. Wheaton? Mr. Thompson?
No.
Mr. Driscoll?
No.
And Ms. Turner?
No.
Vote, Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Motion carried 4-0-1. Next is the set a public hearing for flag lots.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our code does allow flag lots, though it does not explicitly say so. You have to read into the code pretty substantially to see that they are allowed. Once you look and you see that you're required to have a 25-foot right-of-way to the highway system, you can discern that they're allowed. But we really don't address anything regarding what they should look like or where you would measure setbacks on a flag lot. So what I wanted to do is add a code section that essentially clarifies the expectation for those flag lots, where your setbacks would be, how many you could have, can't have one behind another, to really make those developmentally more clear for people. Planning Commission recommends this to you unanimously, and I ask that you set a public hearing for next month.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to set a public hearing for the flag lots.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Turner. May I have a second?
Second.
Second to Mr. Driscoll. Any discussion, Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Driscoll?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
No.
And Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Vote, Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
And Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Motion carried 4-0-1. Next item is to set the public hearing for the SUP for the Forbidden Rivers.
Yes, well, thank you. The Kirklands live on North Main Street, and they have requested a special use permit for a bed and breakfast in an R2 district. It's for 146 North Main. They do live on the property, so that is why it's coming to you as a bed and breakfast as opposed to coming to you as a short-term rental, though, you know, structurally they use the same platform, but they do live in the dwelling. Planning Commission does recommend approval of this, and staff is requesting a public hearing for next month for this.
I will entertain a motion to set this public hearing.
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Wheaton. May I have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Thompson, you get this second. Any discussion? Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Driscoll?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Yes.
Vote, Ms. Wheaton? Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Aye.
And Ms.
Jones.
Aye. Motion carried 4-0-1. Next item is matters from staff.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you've got around here. Mr. Garrett?
Yes, sir.
Great, thanks for the stand up. I would like y'all to know that Fred Pass gives class 2 wastewater operator's license last month. And now he can submit our reports. This is a major step for the town as well as Fred in that we have decided that we make it mandatory that all operators have to have at least a class 2 license because then they can fill out the state reports. It's none of this having to find somebody to come in part time. to cover our report. We have three now that can do wastewater and three that can do water. And we're just adding to it as we go along. And so I wanted Fred to come up and let y'all know what he has put forth, because when we say you have 4 years to get that class two, if not, you have to leave employment with the town. So it's a burden on him, and I'm sure Fred really feels relieved that he's got that too now.
Congratulations. So we'll be sending over here.
Nothing, sir.
Okay. Let's go matters from
the county. Well, regarding the concern about the pavement in town, parking lot, and regarding the trails, I'd like to see if council would be willing to direct maybe the planning commission look into this situation, addressing Mr. Martin's concerns.
Okay,
I don't know how.
Yeah, normally what would happen with this is during this section, you make the recommendation, at which time we would put it on next month's agenda to go to the planning commission for that.
I would like to do that.
Okay, this is for everybody to get their notes and where we stand,
okay.
And then it'll come back to us next month, and we'll discuss it and send it to the planning commission as some parameters.
I would like for it to be discussed.
Okay.
Considered to be
actually. Okay, so we will put it on the agenda next month. It will be put on the next month's agenda.
And the second thing is the trail at Brockman. What was that? I'm sorry.
I was going to Mr. Thompson.
No, you don't have some more stuff to say. The trail at Brockman Park, the bike trail. They've been, working on it. I know at one point we were waiting on some things to happen to expand the trail. Is there any comment on that, and how may we move forward on looking into expanding the trail into the other parts of the park?
Yes, ma'am.
So the plans, the revised engineering plans for Brockman have been submitted to DEQ. We are hoping to get those phase development plans approved before we make decisions about the utilization of any other land. I'm really hopeful that this time these plans will go through. DEQ has been a little bit it's been an arduous process getting these through, because it is grading plans for the entirety of the park, and we had to develop a phasing plan before DEQ would really consider them. So I'm hopeful that we'll get some approved plans back, and then at that point, we will really have a much better handle on what is the area of the park that we can designate for that use.
Is there any timeline?
So I can't remember how many, I think it's 60 days DEQ has to accept or reject the plans. So hopefully in the next couple months we'll have
one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Ms. Mayor. I'm sympathetic to your plight, Mr. Martin. I thank you all for coming to talk to us tonight. And hopefully, ma'am, this at the time, this is kind of weird, or we have a meeting set up. We can't interact with you at the time. But hopefully that satisfies your concern about how to go about looking at this and how that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for us, for anyone, to legislate good taste. I mean, you're not going to be successful doing that. But I do think that there are some ways. I mean, when that was written, 20 years ago, you're right. It was a lot cheaper then. And there is something, our ordinance, as I understand it, I mean, they may legislate this, but, if you pay, you spend $250,000 paving it, and then you drive a cement mixer over it the next day and you tear it all up, there's nothing in the ordinance that says, hey, this is messed up, you need to fix it. So, I mean, I think that there's ways to look at that. I mean, there has been some. I'm concerned about the selective enforcement, and there have been some that's complied with it in some ways, and I'm afraid to name the names because I don't want to, make this any worse. But I agree, there has been some selective enforcement. I'd like to learn more about that. But I appreciate you bringing that up to talk about that in the next week. But that's all I have.
Two things, trails and paving. First thing on trails, Mr. Blair.
Yes,
we're getting 22 acres. If this deal goes through, we're getting 22 acres. I can assure you that multi-use trails are going to be in there. I don't know if it's going to be enough mileage for your bicycle group. We'll do the best we can. I'm planning on walking every inch of the place and make as many trails as we can.
Yes, sir.
The second thing is the paving. I started looking at it this afternoon. I should have looked at it earlier. And you may disagree with me, I don't know, but my interpretation is the paving requirement falls under Division 2 off-street parking. And under off-street parking, in ordinance 24-512 is a calculator for how much parking space you must have. And for an outdoor sales and display, it's one parking spot per 500 square feet. So, as I calculated, for every 1,000 square feet, you need about 350 feet paved. Questions, anybody so far? So basically, you don't have to pave your whole lot. You only have to pave the portion that's used for parking. And that's about a third of the lot. Now, we're going to probably have to hash this over a little bit later, but that's my interpretation. I originally thought when this fell under parking, well, heck, we'll just put up no parking signs, and you got it beat. There is a requirement, if you have a business, that you have a certain amount dedicated for parking. And that parking is what has to be paid, not the whole lot. My interpretation.
Can I ask a question?
It's a citizen's comment. We're pretty much in the council.
That's everything.
I don't have anything.
Yes, you do.
I appreciate the point, Mr. Driscoll, that you made, because it's a very similar point in the conversation that Mrs. Kemp and I have had. And I shared this with the Martins this week. This is one of the challenges in our ordinance. The way it's written is parking lots, drives, but then it doesn't define anything else. And so we don't have kind of this differentiation between, okay, this is storage, and it's not where people are going to be driving. We also don't have very clear language in our code regarding outside storage. What's the difference between outside storage of sheds, trailers, you know, lawn and garden implements versus display? So I think that there's a lot of opportunities to refine the ordinance to really narrow down what is it we are talking about when we talk about parking and drives, and then do we have parameters on what we want for not just surfacing, but possibly screening for storage. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity for us to discuss this. Potentially, if you would like, we could add that to your work session agenda on the 28th to have a conversation before we try to do something at the next regular meeting.
Right. Ms. Mark?
Yes.
You said you had a question. What would you like to do? If you would submit it to Ms. Duffy by email, and she will attach any appropriate stuff and send it out to the rest of us and to Ms. Kemp. So you need to take care of it that way.
Okay.
And yes, we can add it to the. I'm just going to ask for a consensus. We have a work group on the 28th. We can just add it to that.
Okay.
And get part of that. Part of going until we go to the next meeting. So, okay. With that, as he says, we can tell he's feeling better. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ware would like to address it.
I won't hold you up very long. I just remembered the car show that the town of Amherst allowed happened last Saturday. It filled up real quick. It was a good turnout. Unfortunately, the weather was not very friendly, so it sprinkled a few, and they lost 5 to 10 cars. It sprinkled a little more, and lost a few cars.
So they hand out trophies, kind of rushed along a little bit, but overall, because you can't depend on the weather, it is what it is. It was a huge turnout. I mean, I came right at 1:30 or something, and Main Street was full. So the area they had shut down was full. We actually parked where the cruise ends used to go. So it was a huge success. Unfortunately, the rain did impact the longevity of it. So I appreciate the work of town council of allowing that to happen. I hope the people that did that, and if that could be a part of it, help them do it again. I've heard people talk multiple times. You know, I agree with, like, I think somewhere in the middle. Once or twice a year after that, you just kind of, I don't know, it just gets too much. It's a lot to put one on. But I do appreciate y'all allowing that to happen. And one quick comment a wise man told me about the gravel lots and everything. Y'all need to look at it from an environmental point of view, too. Drainage. If you pave a lot, somebody's got to do something with all the water runs off of it compared to a gravel lot where it naturally drains. So that is something that y'all might take into consideration during that. Thank y'all again. That's it.
Okay. Next item is our closed session. Who is taking this in?
Whereas the town council of the town of Amherst desires to discuss the closed meeting the following matters. Discussion, consideration, or interviews of prospective candidates for employment, assignment, employment, promotion, performance, demotion, salaries, display, or resignation of specific town officers, appointees, or employees of any public body concerning the town manager and the town attorney. Discussion or consideration of the acquisition of real property for a public purpose, namely emergency services, or the disposition of publicly held real property where this discussion in an open meeting would adversely affect the bargaining position and negotiating strategy of the public body, specifically real property owned by the Amherst Life Saving Group. Whereas pursuant to Section 2.2-3711A1 and A3 of the Code of Virginia, such discussions may occur in a closed meeting. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town, Amherst Town Council does hereby authorize discussion in four stated matters in closed meeting. Just need a motion.
I'll have a motion to go into closed session. Motion from Ms. Rubin, and second.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Motion carried 4-0-1. We're going to recess for about 5 minutes to give everybody time to step out because we're going to close session with nobody with the council. Thank you.
You
think
that's okay.
What's the problem? What's the problem?